Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Finance Show of tiptv.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 12th of April, a fine day for tax evasion, tax avoidance, and all the other things that MPs do on a daily basis. Alan Green, CEO at Brand Communications, you've got all your money stashed in the south coast of England.
I'd just like to say at this point that I was not mentioned in the Panama Papers, so you'll be relieved to hear that.
Right, I really had you marked down for somebody who had all this.
Yeah, a lot of people did. But
the way you live and everything else, you know, without a care in the world.
Well, it's that decadent lifestyle, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people have cast aspersions on the way I live, but I was not mentioned in the Panama Papers.
Is that because you're a Brighton fan?
Well, I'm a Brighton fan, but I'm also a Spurs fan, and delighted.
The worst of both worlds, some would say.
Well, delighted to say that most of my family are Man United, and the people I went away with to Cornwall last week, so the 3-0 thumping that we gave them on Sunday was very sweet indeed.
I know nothing of that at all, actually.
I won't dwell on it, because those people may be watching.
Right. Let's have a look at the financial markets on that. That's
indeed.
Nothing to do with football at all.
Indeed. CPI 0.5% this morning. So
right. Okay. Well,
slightly ahead of expectations.
We'll go into that. But in the meantime, download the Tip TV Finance app on the App Store or Google. There's a good people as well. Google Play. It's competition to Google.
That's a great brand, you know. Google.
Yeah. Google. Yes. Exactly. Right. And we've gone to Twitter, which is easier to pronounce for me.
Twitter.
At Official Tip TV. Follow us on Twitter to get the latest news and updates. Mm. What's trending? The yen, weaker yen buys Japan stocks, most Asia markets up. Standard Chartered selling $4.4 billion worth of Asian assets, presumably. That's the bottom of the market.
Which doesn't bode too well, considering that's its main market, but there we go.
Yes, exactly. It sounds rather weird in two different ways. China's Premier Xi, is that the president? Oh, that's the president, isn't it? Xi is the president.
President Xi, which is XI, I believe.
Okay, yes, I like Xi myself. But yeah. China's Premier says economy showing positive signs, which doesn't mean very much, really, does it?
I don't think his henchmen would be too happy to know he was called Xi, but there we go.
Well, he can find me.
Yes.
Next, we have Mike's Morning Markets, which we looked at a couple of hours back on the early edition of the Financial Show. Overnight, Japan rebounds and leads Asia higher. Finance Minister of, I believe his name is Kuroda, hints at intervention. The yen retreats a little, but still just around the 108 level, which is the lowest it's been. Alcoa kicks off US earnings season with downgrade to outlook on aluminium market, or aluminum, as these people say, for some reason. They can't speak, can they? Can't speak
English. Aluminum? Well, Kuroda is not a very good name for somebody that's trying to manage a recovering economy, is it?
But probably not, actually. A speculative dollar long is at the lowest level in 2 years, according to CFTC data. IMF and World Bank start their spring meeting, chinwag later today. IMF likely to follow World Bank's lead and downgrade growth forecast, which I think they've done for every year for the last 5 years or 7 years. I mean, every year since the financial crisis, really.
It's an off-the-shelf headline, really, isn't it? I mean, if you Google the IMF, you'll find that most of the headlines, I think, for the past 2 years have been IMF downgrades world growth forecast. But, interesting today. We'll be looking briefly at Michael Page International, which has always been viewed as a great litmus test for the global economy. And I think it shows that there are some very strong economies and some very weak ones too. So hence the IMF are probably, they're probably looking at the Michael Page share price to form their...
Well, I think if they were looking at that, they'd probably get their forecast right. But I don't actually remember them ever getting a forecast of any kind right. But half an hour ago, we had the UK March inflation, which was expected to edge up to 0.4%. In fact, it was 0.5%.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So that's Well, I guess the Chancellor will be reasonably happy with that because it's still well below his figure. Although the core number is also up to 1.5% too. So, so we won't want to see too much more of that this year.
I suspect the Chancellor has his mind on other things rather than trivial things like inflation data.
Like saving his political career along with his boss.
Yes, yes. Indeed. Okay, bit of politics there.
Indeed.
Next up, we have Nicole Elliott from the Investors Chronicle, who tells a little story about what's going on in Rome at the moment, where the Italian authorities rushed through something they've called Atlas. The stronger banks, insurers and asset managers have agreed to backstop €5 billion to help ailing banks, where share prices have slumped again this year as non-performing loans are estimated to be running at just €360 billion. Euros.
Drop in the ocean.
Whoever was the bank manager in charge of that probably needs to think of a new career. In return, the government has agreed to update its complex and lengthy bankruptcy procedures, bringing them up to EU standards, masquerading as a private sector deal to avoid accusations of illegal state aid. The reality is that the Treasury's Cassa Depositi e Prestiti has an unspecified stake. So the whole thing is absolutely tortuous, isn't it?
Has it been overseen by Fred the Shred, you wonder, or the Italian equivalent? Because that's shocking, isn't it? But I mean, really, it's been a sticking plaster every year, hasn't it? We've seen some degree of banking crisis across the Eurozone at some point, and insurance companies move in, the central bank moves in, and we hear nothing more of it. But
to be fair, that the British led the way down. With Northern Rock, Bradford and Bingley, HBOS, all those people, we were the first and we were the best at...
We were the best, but we've also recovered far better than these European states as well. I mean, we still have, clearly the government's still trying to offload the stakes, but I think we're in a much healthier position now than we were, obviously, back in the
Great Depression. Especially if you ignore RBS.
If you ignore RBS altogether, yes, it's even better, that's it.
Okay, next slide. A new report from Moody's ratings agencies warned that default rates on speculative debt would increase over the coming year because the corporate default cycle has turned. Simultaneously, analysts at Deutsche Bank, who know all about speculative debt, expect a rise in the number of corporate bond defaults, they really should know what they're talking about, admittedly from a very low level, as there are clear signs the cycle is turning, especially in the US.
Well, Deutsche Bank debt levels, Deutsche Bank was having its cage rattled a couple of months ago, wasn't it?
They're still there?
I believe so, yes, although they may be under new ownership. But
okay, all right. Next up we have, hopefully, Omkar Godbole from FX Street. US dollar yen, is it forming a head and shoulders? To me, that looks like a cup and handle. But that's the gold daily chart there. Bullish break in RSI indicates there's further room for upside in gold. However, rejection around 1263 would increase odds of a head and shoulder formation with neckline at 1215 to 1220. But don't we think gold is going up?
Well, interesting on this point. We published something yesterday on behalf of one of our clients, US investor John Hathaway. Reckons that there is a huge shortage of gold globally, and if the economies fail to recover as expected, there'll be a rush for gold. And really, he's saying now investors should top up while they can, because he sees prices going 10 times these kind
of levels. I did actually read that email.
Which is incredibly speculative, I know. But if there is a shortage, gold has always been the safe haven. So he's recommending that investors should top up or at least have some in their portfolio, which I think is good.
Well, I mean, I think the other point is there's limited downside from current levels you'd face. Yeah. So you shouldn't have too much to lose from where we are.
Well, we saw $2,000 a troy ounce a few years ago, and it's come back since then. But I think we've seen an extended period of consolidation now, and I think we could expect to see the yellow metal build on the strength it currently has.
Okay, let's move along to your selection, ASOS, which is the most shorted stock on AIM. I don't know why. Why don't they like it?
It's incredible. Well, you look at that chart. I think short sellers would have caught a severe cold, and they'll also have caught another cold this morning because the share price is up 4% today. This could be the rebirth of ASOS in a sense. I mean, we've had an incredible set of interim results. Revenues plus 21%, UK revenues up 25%, international revenues up 18%, pre-tax up 18%, 17% rise in customers to nearly 11 million. I mean, the metrics are fantastic. So I particularly like the look of this chart here, Zach. I mean, as a chartist, you probably agree. I think it's broken through major support, clearly, and is now pushing on to £35 a share as we speak this morning. So I would say that the odds are, if this progress continues, we should see a recovery of the year highs, around £40.
Well, I would go for even more than that. This is actually one occasion where one of the only times in the last 10 years I think I've agreed with you on anything, really. So,
really?
No, I think it looks very good. I think what put me off with ASOS is the large short interest.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand. I can see why the hedge funds and other clever people are going short of it. I can sort of, you know, because it's a sort of, let's say it's a post-bubble situation or something like that. But really, the fundamentals don't really justify that. But next stock?
Okay, this is, I mentioned at the start, Zach, that Michael Page International, the international recruitment agency, they are very much viewed as one of the stocks that is effectively a litmus test of the strength of the global economy. And we've got a very mixed bag today from them in the quarter one trading statement, and the shares have slipped back just under 1% as a result. Overall, 3.6% rise in gross profits. Eurozone is reasonably strong. UK is flat. Asia Pacific and Asia is up a couple of percent. Australasia up 3%. USA is up 9%. Brazil minus 31%. So there's a mix there. Overall, it's fairly strong, but they were most pleased with their increase in temp performance. That's placing of temps. That business was up 9%. But clearly, the markets are yet to be convinced. The shares have slipped back a bit this morning. But if they bounce off the 50-day. Well, the 50-day is currently just at £4, so it's currently trading 4.13p. So if we see a test of that, it could be a good opportunity to buy in.
Okay. Next contender. We've got the Nasdaq here, which is outperforming with the start of the week, maintaining its price and relative uptrends off the early February lows. This sideways drift since the beginning of the month has enabled the momentum to settle at a more comfortable level. Today we're seeing the 50-day exponential moving average rising through the 200-day to result in a golden cross, bolstering the bullish evidence further. That's from the co-report.
That's very encouraging.
And now on to the Forex open positions from Oanda clients. Silver, still the favourite, top dog there, 76% long. Dollar yen going with the Kuroda promise of intervention, presumably it's 66% long. On the other side, people getting slightly squeezed there with euro-dollar, which is towards the highs, above 114 at the moment. And they have been squeezed in euro-sterling, although that's off a bit, off the highs a bit from 81 pence back to 80 pence. We go on now to the brokers, I hope. Just Eat, an area which is fascinating to me. This is also a stock which had massive shorting interest, also yep. had... I think the people who sort of brought it to market also cashing out as well. So that's not exactly a vote of confidence. But it is interesting that JP Morgan have gone for a target of 775 pence, which seems somewhat optimistic at the moment, given that the shares are currently 367 pence.
Well, we picked up the shares. I discussed these shares, I think, recently on the show, and the shares are about 330, and they've recovered somewhat since then. But it's they're first to market. Just as Domino's Pizza has succeeded in the takeaway business, this is Just Eat has a far broader. Reach. It's covering every single takeaway you can imagine, and the app's great. It's like the Uber of the takeaway world. It's a great model. Shares have been as high as just under £5, I believe, for the year. So yeah, I agree that target is optimistic, but I think the scope for growth in the business as the results interim results, full year results, we're seeing significant levels of growth.
Right, just quick mention of British American Tobacco from Deutsche Bank. I always like them glued to whatever they say because they obviously are the market.
They're great defensive
play. Deutsche Bank are the new Goldman Sachs in my mind. buy with a target of £45, yep. And then ITV from Peel Hunt, buy their £3.30 target. The reason that's interesting is the shares are about £1 below that. Let's just have quickly look at the charts at the moment. Just Eat. If we can get that descending price channel Shares at 367 at the moment. It looks as though we're actually in a sort of downtrend from November. So yep. ideally, the shares find support around 325.
Yep.
For
yep.
BAT, we have a situation where there's been a massive sort of move to the upside. £44 looks like a technical target there.
Interesting. Neil Woodford, the fund manager, well-respected fund manager, has BATS as one of his major holdings in his accumulation fund, along with Imperial Tobacco. So both of those are great defensive plays and great yield as well.
If Neil says buy, who can say so?
Who can say that? Yeah.
And finally, ITV, we have shares, I think, from memory, towards the sort of the bottom of the recent range, 230, 240 looks like the support zone. So hopefully, even if you don't believe the 330 pence target, you could have 280 pence at the top of the range.
Sure.
Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, thank you for opening the finance show today. It's been a pleasure.